Today we're going to get into Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 through 26. And you've been with us for a long time. My time pastoring here, I normally will go through more than three verses. But rather than go into Galatians 6, I saw something here as an educator, as I have been for about 25 years now. Went to school to be a physical education teacher and was at a variety of schools and private and public and coaching and so on and so forth. So I saw something here that if you saw the title of the sermon, it's called A Spirit-Filled Sandwich. There's a reason for that. I'm not being blasphemous, just bear with me, okay? But last Sunday, the scripture spoke of being led of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, followed by 17 specific works of the flesh. The nine fruits of the Spirit were then listed, which there is no law. The flesh and the Spirit war against one another, and they cannot coexist. We as Christians, Christ followers, must deny and crucify the flesh. A Spirit-filled believer is a person who has crucified the flesh and in turn will be filled with God's Spirit. The church in Galatia had issues with false teachers coming in and teaching heresy. Last week we touched on backbiting and devouring, consuming one another with these works of the flesh. And this morning there's three more areas that the Apostle Paul will specifically mention: vainglory or conceitedness, provoking one another in a bad way, and of course, envy. So why a Spirit-filled sandwich, as the title reveals? I already told you my background's education. In teaching or pedagogy, there's something called a teaching sandwich. And it'll often go like this: positive feedback, corrective feedback, and then positive. I use it as a coach. I've used it as a coach and a teacher. And it's usually a good format to follow when instructing a group or specifically an individual. Well, the Apostle Paul here uses what I call a Spirit-filled sandwich in the sense of verse 24 is instruction. Verse 25 is production. And verse 26, once again, is instruction. Instruction, production, and instruction. So think of it as a sandwich. The bottom piece of bread you start here is to crucify the flesh. That's a willful daily decision. The meat and all the condiments, the meat and all the fixings would be live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and then the top piece of bread or bun would be instructions on what not to do. Let us not desire vain or empty glory. Don't provoke one another in a bad way, and don't be envious of one another. So there you have it as we look at this today a little bit deeper in this Spirit-filled sandwich. We'll start with verse 24. It says, "And they that are Christ," Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, "and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Before a resurrection, there must be a crucifixion. A servant is not above their master. Jesus said that a servant is not above their master. He also said, if they hated me, that's the world, they will hate you also. Like Jesus the Christ, we must be crucified. Now, we may not carry our instrument of death as they did in Rome, a large, heavy wooden cross to then be nailed to and suffer immensely physically, but we must be crucified to our will, desires, passions, affections, and lusts. The Apostle Paul to the church of Colossae says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your affections on things above, not here below." To be heavenly minded is to be like Christ. The word affections is a neuter noun, pathemia, which means uncontrolled nature of evil desires. And the first instruction the Apostle Paul is saying is we must crucify these evil desires that we have that lie in our flesh. And then what is a lust? It's a desire, a craving, a longing, mostly of evil desires. For example, another man's wife, a drug, a position, the look someone else may have. And the question today for us is, what are your affections? What are you lusting after? Is it physical intimacy? Is it a drug? Is it money, power? If you are craving, longing, desiring in an evil, unhealthy way, any of these things, or maybe something else that has not been mentioned, one phrase, deny and crucify. Deny. Jesus said, anyone who follows me, who comes after me, must pick up his cross, deny himself. That's the requirements to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, is you cannot give in to these lusts, these evil affections, these desires that in our flesh we still have. Stop being self-seeking, start seeking Jesus, repent, get back up and walk on the straight and narrow path. I have a question. If you knew you were passing tomorrow, thank God he doesn't let us know the day or the hour, both of his return, but also of our departure. If you knew that you were going to pass tomorrow, would you be content? Have you been content with your lot in life? Do you have an unhealthy, evil desire to obtain more in an unhealthy way? That's a good question to ask, because I referenced this verse last week in Timothy, 1 Timothy. That godliness, the second part, godliness with contentment is great gain, and what you gain is communion with God when you're content in your lot. And this is a question I ask myself often. Am I content in what the Lord has called me to do? Am I content with my marriage? And am I content with my children? Am I content with this pastorate? Am I content with everything he's called me to do? Or do I have an unhealthy desire to keep trying to get more and keep trying to keep up with everyone else? And so it's a good question for us to reflect upon. And along with spiritual principles, there's always a practical part to doing this. Because remember, last week, Holy Spirit Parakletos is working, walking alongside with you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. God resides in you, his holy, set-apart spirit, and he is not going to leave you if you're truly his. No one's going to snatch you out of his hand. Jesus said that. Listen to me. I have a question for you. I asked one of our deacons this earlier today. I think they were caught off guard. Have you ever heard of a Holy Spirit exorcism? You haven't. There's no such thing. God is sovereign. He does not indwell a believer and then decide because you think you're God to leave you because your works aren't good enough. The fact remains, you were never converted. You never had the Holy Spirit. God says, as many as you've given me, tells the Father, I've lost none. Of course, the son of perdition, Judas, was chosen by God to fulfill the sovereign will of God, to ultimately betray Christ and put him on the cross to be crucified. For unto us a son is given. So keep that in mind as we move forward. But let me give you some practical, because remember, the church in Galatia was much different. No phone, no internet, but still people, still sinners. Still, Paul is addressing them specifically in around 49 AD, and now we're almost at 2026. Some practical tips for this on dealing with these unhealthy lusts and affections. What are you scrolling through? How are your algorithms on your phone? See, if you are on an iPhone, Android, and you're scrolling through, and you realize you'll start to see a consistency in the type of things you're seeing. And there's a reason for that. And if you ever notice you're talking about something and then you go on your phone and somehow that topic pops right up? Yeah, that's the world we live in. So what are you talking about? You're ultimately going to see it on your phone. What are you scrolling through? What are you looking at? Well, if you have a problem with what you're seeing on your phone and it's self-inflicted, turn off your phone. Isn't that a great idea? I've made a decision. I sent the message to my family text. I said, we'll see you at SBC later today. Phone going off at 9. It's still off, by the way. This is a decision I had to make. This is a decision I have to make to turn off my phone. I have to deny the desire to hear the ping, this, text, that one. There was not a lot of heat in here, by the way, an hour ago. And God has to remind me, I'll take care of it. You do your part, I'll do my part. Walked in, it was a little bit warmer at around 10 o'clock. There has to be a conscious decision to deny and crucify our flesh, to deny our affections and lusts. How about what websites are you on, visiting or clicking on? Here's a practical tip. Get an accountability partner. There's software out there that links you with somebody, and they will be able to see everything you go through on your laptop, on your phone, so on and so forth. What are you listening to? What's going in your ears? What are you listening to? Well, download something else. Turn the channel. You know, being around the time that I have, of course, there's secular music that I used to consistently listen to, and my flesh really likes it, if I'm honest with you. Why? Because it revs me up. You know, I'm at the gym, and I'm trying to lift that weight, and maybe I'll do a little bit better. I get the music that maybe I used to listen to, but I know it's not God glorifying. But it can help me bench the amount that I'm not going to tell you how much I can bench. But it helps me get up that little bit extra, right? But that doesn't glorify God. Now I'm giving into the flesh. Why? Nobody's watching me. God is. The one that dwells with you. The one that walks alongside you. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you hanging out with? Well, here's a practical solution. Start meeting new people. If those people are causing you to stumble, if they're causing you to sin, get new friends. Start meeting new people. Start serving in a ministry. You say, what ministry? Any ministry. You say, well, what can we do here? Take a look in the back. Matt and Dave could use your help. In the tech team. Greeters at the door. Setting up for our meals, special events. There's an opportunity to decorate the church coming up this Saturday. You could serve in multiple capacities here or outside of SBC. Use your time wisely. How about this? How is your time being spent? How is your time being spent? Well, here's a practical suggestion. Get into a routine. Create structure in your life. Church, gym, reading, goal setting. Start to set some goals for yourself. Don't waste time. You've probably heard this. Idle time is a tool of the enemy. I'm sure I can find some type of Bible verse to back that up. In fact, Jesus says to redeem. Buy back the time. Use it wisely. Don't waste your time. It's a choice each day to fulfill the lust of the flesh or deny and crucify. And again, I said this last week. Guess who our biggest scapegoat is? Satan. Oh, the devil. That darn devil. No, it's you. The devil can tempt you. The devil can try you. But you live in this body. And the Holy Spirit is there, but the Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. You say, how? By your decisions. To fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To make provision for the flesh. Rather than go with that convicting Holy Spirit that's telling you not to do or to do something. Because sometimes it can be a sin of omission. You know you're supposed to do something, but you don't. But you don't. Now, contextually speaking, as I mentioned, Paul is speaking to a group of people that are being consumed in their flesh with what? Backbiting, devouring each other, gossip, slander. Well, how could it happen back then? I mean, I just mentioned things that we currently navigate through, technology to be specific. How could it be? Well, of course they had Bible scripture studies back then. You know what it's good to do at a Bible study? Study the Bible, believe it or not. You ever been to a Bible study? They call it a Bible study, but they actually don't study the Bible. They talk. They say a little prayer, and then it's 10 minutes of... That's not a Bible study. And could have that been happening back then? Could they be getting into the scriptures, and then all of a sudden it turns into a gossip session? Perhaps. How about a prayer meeting? Good idea. You know what you should do at a prayer meeting? Pray. Very good. When you go to a prayer meeting, pray at the prayer meeting, or else it's not really a prayer meeting. It's just prayer meeting in name only. A men or women's breakfast. Well, eat. Fellowship. Pray. Testimony, scripture. Don't let it turn into a work of the flesh. Something spiritual can easily turn into something of the flesh. And you could do that anywhere. You could do that anywhere at any time. You know, yesterday I did pop in to the men's breakfast. I normally don't go, but I popped in and we had those 8 or 9 men there. We ate. We got into the scriptures. And then it was over. And that's how the men's breakfast. Now I know the women are meeting now and I'm sure they're doing spiritual things, but don't let your flesh get a foothold into something that God wants to use to benefit you and build you up spiritually. The second verse, the apostle says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I already mentioned this. The Holy Spirit resides in the believer. I mentioned this verse, and I think it's a good memory verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, you are now saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise. God doesn't break his promises. Well, therefore, walk or live like it. This is the meat and all the condiments of this three-verse sandwich. The Word of God says this, he who says he abides in him ought to also to walk just as he has walked. It's 1 John chapter 2. You say, where'd you get that from? The men's breakfast yesterday. See? Because we talked about Scripture, I got Scripture inside of me. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is this, you have God residing in you. You are transformed. Now, what's interesting about this is walking in the Spirit actually means to start walking step for step with Him. That's what it actually means. It's a verb. To actually have marching orders according to the captain of the Lord of hosts, according to General Jesus. We walk according to His orders. Now, why? We're bond servants to Him. Free from sin, slaves to sin, bond slaves unto righteousness. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get through to this church in Galatia. And that's what he's trying to get through to us now. Is we have to live differently. We have to walk differently. That's how we glorify God. And the decision daily is based upon us in collaboration and work with the Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus? Like a badger? Right? Like some aggressive animal? No, a dove. Gentle, white, not intimidating. People can see the fruit of the Spirit in you. And this wasn't going on in Galatia. We're seeing a lot of flesh. We're seeing bad doctrine, bad false teaching. People can see the fruits of the Spirit, the character of Christ in you. They can see it. Your face reveals a lot. Eyes reveal a lot. The way you live reveals a lot. Where you go, how you spend your time. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Where we go is determined upon our collaboration with God Himself. That's relationship, you see. That's relationship. That's a holy covenant. And it's something we ought to pay attention to. Now, the last piece of this sandwich are things we should not do. Let us not be desirous of three things: vainglory, or empty glory, conceitedness, provoking one another, or envying one another. So, vainglory, being boastful, conceited, it is the flesh, it is not the fruit of the Spirit, it's not meek, it's not gentle, it's not peaceful. And I've mentioned this before, I believe it was Billy Graham, who spoke of what he called the big three, gold, glory, or girls. Or let me change it. If you're a woman, gold, glory, or guys. See, those big three will take out your proper mind, your marriage, and your ministry. They will take you out. And Satan may be there to dangle some of those in front of you, but you must make the choice to be like Joseph and run away or sit there, make provision, first the seed, then the deed. And one moment, you've heard this before, it takes somebody their whole life to develop their reputation. In one moment, it's ruined. It's ruined. We know of well-known ministers, pastors, evangelists, locally, internationally, who have lived it, who have ruined their lives because of one moment of a bad affection or a lust. And they lost their entire ministry. They lost their marriage. They lost their children. They lost all just because of that one moment where they couldn't deny and crucify. God knows. God knows what that is for us. And Satan does know how to tempt us. And you have to be aware of that. So what do? You stay away from that vineyard you're not supposed to go to. I have a really good advice for you. If you struggle with alcohol, why would you go near a bar or a liquor store? Why would you do that? If you were an avid gambler, why would you go to a casino? Why do you buy scratch-off tickets? Why would you bet on the football game? That is foolishness, and you should be fearful of a holy God. You want to stay committed in your marriage? Here's a good tip for you. Make sure you're not sending messages to other men or women privately. Last night, I showed my wife. There was a young lady I used to know, Facebook friends. And I saw something that concerned me, so I sent her a message in goodwill, asking about her situation. And I said, Les, here it is, here. I want you, oh, I don't need that. I don't. So there's a trust there, but I'm certainly going to say, here, if I have an encounter with a woman, and when I say an encounter, I mean any type of kind of, I don't know, meeting that I feel is to any degree I felt inappropriate, I'm going to inform my wife about it. And she's my accountability partner when it comes to that. But I'm telling you, the flesh has taken many men and women out. In ministry, in marriage, in life in general. And you say, well, yeah, but I'm an older person now. Yup, you're an older person now. That's great. That means you get to continue to deal with the temptations. My old pastor, who's now 77 years old, he said, you know the verse that says, flee youthful lusts, I'm still waiting. They don't go away. You have to continue to deny and crucify your flesh. Vainglory. It says, don't do that. The next one, provoking one another. This is to challenge, to a combat or contest with one, to provoke, to irritate. And you know, I realize I've been guilty in my home at times with this, with my boys, you know, being foolish with them and challenging them and foolish jesting and things. And I have to say, God, forgive me. Help me. Have you ever noticed that when you make a joke at someone else's expense, everybody is laughing but them? And men struggle with this. Why? Testosterone, pride, ego. Women don't really joke like this. Men do. We jest. We poke at each other. And then at times it's like a fire that gets out of control. Then somebody's really mad about the joking and it's just foolishness. You know why? It's all flesh. It's all flesh. That's not God's spirit. Paul's saying don't do that. Consider others better than yourself. Don't do that. The Word of God says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's Ephesians 6:4. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You want to provoke someone? Provoke them unto good works, not unto anger. Stir up people for good. Love is not easily provoked. How quickly do you get angry? Ephesians says, walk in love. Walk in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in love. And then the last one, envying one another. The Proverbs say, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That's Proverbs 27, verse 4. At the root of envy is discontentment, as I already mentioned. The root of envy is discontentment. If I only had that house, if I only had that job, if I only had that man or that woman, if I only had that salary, if you only had that evil affection and desire crucified, you would be walking in the Spirit. See, you are being robbed of contentment, robbed of the communion of the Holy Spirit. Perception, Pastor Steve, perception is not reality. We were just talking about it before the service. You think marriage is something it's not because you haven't walked in it. You think money will solve the problem, and then it doesn't. You perceive that a situation or circumstance is one way, when in actuality it is completely different. You are being robbed of your contentment because of your affections and lusts. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This is why the Apostle Paul is instructing these people. All he's seeing is a church of flesh. What was it in Corinth? Sexual immorality. All churches have problems, and the problems always stem from the same things. Me, myself, and I. Discontentment. Not setting our affections on things above, but here below. And what happens? People start consuming one another. And as I told you before, you have a problem with someone in the church. Biblically correct terminology is you go to the trespasser in a spirit of meekness. You're going to see this in chapter 6. Lest you fall in a spirit of meekness. Why? Because meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Listen to what verse 6:3. We're going to talk about the last thing here. As it says, envying, not envying one another. We talked about it, but listen, this is a good verse to memorize. Chapter 6, verse 3 says, For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's arrogance. That's arrogance, and we have to be really, really careful. Envy is like rottenness in the bones, the proverb says. It is destroying you. It's like spiritual osteoporosis. I mean, just think about that for a minute. Vainglory, all these things, they're very ugly. I want to encourage you before we begin to close here to not be in the never club. You say, well what's the never club? I'd never do that. Cheat on my wife. Oh, I would never cheat on my wife. Well, you're in the never club. And guess who else was in that club? Simon Peter. Jesus, I would never deny you. He thinks he's more than he really is. And Jesus simply looks at him and says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Who was right, by the way? Oh, I will go to death. I will go to prison. No, you won't. No, you won't. He who thinks he is something is nothing and deceives himself. Jesus Christ was clothed with humility. I'm always concerned with people who say, I will never do what? Really? So many before have. Take heed lest you fall. That's pride. That was the sin of Satan. That was the sin of Lucifer. Be humble. Be heavenly minded. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit lest you fall. Just one moment ruins your entire lifetime legacy, marriage, ministry. It's happened locally. We don't have to go very far down the road. We don't have to go across the county. We don't have to go across the world. Many have been taken out by these affections and lusts, this vain glory, this envying of one another. Be content. I'm going to ask Pastor Steve to come back up as we prepare to close. See, today, you are a sandwich artist. You know who coined that phrase? Subway. Don't you like that? How they make... I kind of like that. So, wow, sandwich artist, right? But you are a sandwich artist today. I mean, think about this. You wake up every day by God's mercy and God's grace. And so here's the sandwich artist. You wake up and do you pray, seek God, crucify the flesh, the desires, the lust, the affection? Well, then you'll begin walking in the Spirit step for step with Jesus. Or you wake up, scroll, the mind is going now, the desires are starting to be led astray, they're evil. How do you start your day? What is your mind on? What do? It all starts in the mind. Why do you think we're instructed to put on the helmet of salvation in Ephesians chapter 6? It all starts in the mind. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom in all his righteousness and everything else shall be added unto you. Purpose to love and serve people. Determine to not waste time with things that do not matter. Be content with who you are and what you have given. No conceitedness, envy, vainglory. See, as I continue to get to know the people here, there's a lot of good and a lot of gold here at SBC. See, many of you, you've been tried in the fire. You've been tested. And you're shining, you see. That's the gold Jesus speaks of in Revelation. See, if I see it, that means other people see it as well. So I want to encourage you to keep walking,
keep serving, keep shining for Jesus. Because just like that that old hymn, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Time is short. Time is precious. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. May God be glorified in and through you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to serve you in so many ways, through song, through the reading of Scripture, through Holy Communion, through the preaching and teaching of your word. God, we need help daily. We are sinners, God. Think of Peter once again. He says, I'm a prideful man. I think we all can identify at some point with that statement. Help us to walk with you, Lord, in a way that's pleasing unto you, a sweet-smelling savor unto the nostrils of our Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's family said, amen. Thank you.